excited about what he's doing in our hearts, what he's doing in our lives. I'm excited to see young people wanting to step out and make a stand for Christ. I'm so excited about that. I just want you to understand, though, for those of you who may not know a lot about the Christian faith, baptism does not save us. It doesn't save us at all. We believe the Bible, and we believe that, and I'll be sharing about this a little bit more later on, but we believe that we're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so these young people that are going to be baptized tonight, they've already been saved by God's grace. They're just going to be doing exactly what the Lord told us in Matthew 28 when he said this. Jesus appears to his disciples after he's been raised from the dead. He was crucified, he was buried, and on the third day the Bible says he rose again from the dead, and he came to his disciples just before he ascended into heaven, and he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then therefore Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," the disciples, "baptizing the disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So these two young people that are going to be baptized tonight, plus another young person who's already been baptized but coming into membership, are just identifying themselves with us, but these two young people are actually obeying the commandment of Christ. So I'm going to ask, first of all, a young lady in our church, Melissa Bouquet, I don't know where she's sitting, but there she is, to come and share her testimony. And followed by that is going to be Joshua Hannon. He's going to share his testimony of how the Lord saved him, and Melissa's going to share her testimony of how the Lord saved her. I want you to listen to these testimonies, guys. God works in mysterious ways, and he doesn't work the same in everybody's life. He worked in Melissa's life in an entirely different way than he did in Joshua's life and in Jordan's life that you're going to hear from later on. So first Melissa's going to come, Joshua's then going to come, and then we're going to have our worship team come back up and lead us in a song, and after that, Jordan McDonnell, wherever he is, somewhere, there he is going to come up and share his testimony as well. So Melissa, come and share with us how the Lord saved you.
Hi. So my name is Melissa Bouquet, for those who don't know me. There's actually a lot of people who I didn't know here. I was not expecting this many people, but it's good, it's good. So I've been attending NFBC for just over 2 years now. To be honest, one of the things that scared me most about tonight was giving my testimony. I grew up in a United Christian Reformed Church, and giving your testimony is not really done there at all. So more of a Baptist thing, maybe. So if you had asked me a couple years ago, I wouldn't even really have known what a testimony consists of. But anyways, here goes mine. So I'll start by telling you a little bit about myself, for those who don't know me. I am 20 years old. I was born fourth in a family of eight. I have seven siblings. I had Christian parents. I had Christian grandparents. I was homeschooled all through grade school and high school, so my social life consists of the church, so all my friends are Christian. So a pretty sheltered life, I suppose, but I consider myself blessed by that fact. Being raised in a Christian home with regular Bible reading and prayer, God was always very real to me. It seemed like I've always had Jesus in my heart. There wasn't a particular moment, like I know a lot of you have experienced, that I got down on my knees and accepted Jesus into my heart. For me, he's always been there. And I realize that salvation is personal, and that just because I'm born in a Christian family does not mean that I am a Christian. I realize that it's a personal commitment, which I have made. There wasn't a dramatic moment that I prayed the prayer and asked Jesus into my heart, but I do believe that he is there and that he is my Savior. So partly why I freaked out when I heard I had to write a testimony was because I was like, well, I don't have anything to write. You know, there wasn't a dramatic moment. I wasn't having, like, suicidal thoughts, and then I fell down on my knees and anything like that, which, you know, I know some of you have had dramatic moments. I was like, there's nothing dramatic in my life. I don't know what to write about. So I've always believed in God. I grew up in a Christian home. But then I thought, you know what, that's a blessing. There's nothing dramatic that's happened in my life, but that's not a bad thing. I've had Christian, you know, I'm blessed by Christian parents. I was blessed by a Christian heritage, and I'm thankful for that. So I've known Christ as far as I can remember, but there was a point when I was about 14 years old when I probably got stronger in my faith. My two grandmothers remain the two most godliest women I've ever known. And when I was 14, they both died. Sorry. In the span of just 6 months. We lost them both to cancer, and then 8 months later, my grandfather died as well. So being 14 years old and losing three grandparents is a little tough. But it made me think more about my faith and heaven and stuff like that. So then in January of 2012, the next big thing that impacted my faith was I took a missions trip to the Dominican Republic. An opportunity presented itself, and I wasn't thinking about missions. I wasn't praying about missions. I was working on missions. Didn't even cross my mind, really. When I was 14, 15, I would get together with some of my friends, and we'd talk about, it would be so cool to work in an orphanage, and, we all love kids, and I was reading my journal not too long ago, and I wrote in an entry, one of the things I most wanted to be able to do was experience working in an orphanage. And I was like, well, it'll never happen, orphanages are way away, and they're not in Canada, and I'll never get that far, I'll never be able to do that. Well, in January 2012, last year, I had an opportunity to go. So I went. I was like, warm country, January, can't go wrong. So, but that week I spent down there. I went to an orphanage. I went to a rehab center. That, more than I think anything in my life, has impacted my life spiritually and financially and everything. But I fell in love with the kids at the orphanage. I seen how God worked in the lives of the men at the rehab center, which was incredible. My brother was with me, and he can probably testify to that as well. I remember coming back from that trip and still being in the airport waiting for my parents to pick me up and talking to the leaders of the team, and already committing myself to go on the next trip, which was in May. So I went on that trip as well, and then I went in September again, and then in February again, for 4 months, and then I'm actually leaving in 3 weeks again to go. So as you can tell, that made a huge impact on my life, and it's still impacting my life. But I was touched by everything I saw and experienced. It brought a whole new level of understanding to me of how much we have and why we have it. I came home with a lot of questions, a lot of emotions, still have a lot of questions, a lot of emotions, but it really taught me more about God and how He works and how everyone is different, but we're all equal in God's eyes, and we need to have a love for people like God loves people. My favorite verse in the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." This verse has helped me the most, probably, through so many of the decisions that I've had to make, so many of the questions I've made. I worry, sometimes I wonder, what does God have my future? What am I going to do? What am I going to do financially? If I go for missions, how is that going to work financially? Am I going to get people to support me? Like God says in that verse, He says, don't worry about it. I have your future. I have it in my hands. Not only do I have your future, but I have a future that's going to prosper you. And so that's really brought peace to me in that aspect. So I don't know what God's plans are for me in the future for missions, but I'm still working on that. The other thing, the major thing that has challenged me in my spiritual life is this church. It's been a huge blessing to me. The last bunch of years, like I said, I grew up in a Christian United Reformed church. The last bunch of years that we attended that church were rough. The details aren't important, but my parents struggled a lot with what to do. Eventually, they decided it would be best to leave, so we left about 2.5 years ago, and we started coming here. The preaching was very lacking in our other church. So for me, coming here was a breath of fresh air. I love the preaching. I love the worship. I love the passion. I love the fellowship. Granted, it wasn't easy leaving the other church, even though the fellowship here was amazing. Everybody was welcoming. It's never easy to leave something you're familiar with and all your friends. So that was a little tough, maybe even more so for my younger siblings. But it was pretty soon that we started attending here, and I decided that there wasn't really any other church that I wanted to be a part of more than this one. So why did it take me 2 years to become a member, right? Growing up in a Reformed church, I was baptized as an infant. I was taught infant baptism, covenant theology, all that. So coming here and you guys practicing believers baptism was a little foreign to me. I wasn't quite sure about it. I'm still not quite sure about it. I'm not, to be honest, I'm not fully convinced either way. Pastor Huck is convincing when it comes to believers baptism. My dad and other pastors I know are convincing when it comes to infant baptism. So I can see both sides, so that's just something I'm still questioning, and I'm going to have to work out for myself, I guess. But the thing that helped me make my decision was, like Pastor Jacques said a couple minutes ago, baptism is not a salvation issue. Pastor Jacques believes one thing, my dad believes another thing, but they're still brothers in Christ. So that gave me peace when it came to making my decision. So I wanted to become a member because so many people of this church don't know me, and I hope to change that. So I wanted to just show everyone that I have accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, and I am a sister in Christ. So I also wanted to be able to fully participate in all the ministries that the church has. So those are the reasons that I wanted to become a member. And this church has blessed me so much, and I look forward to getting to know everybody better, and I hope I can be a bit of a blessing here, as you guys have been to me. So thank you.
Evening. I'm Joshua Hannon, in case anyone doesn't know me, which I'm assuming a lot of you don't. My walk with the Lord's been really short, but really incredibly fruitful in the short period of time that's taken place. I grew up in a majority atheist household with a spiritualist mother, we'll say, and the exact day I was saved, I'm not sure, but it was about 2 years ago. I first came to this church in February of 2012. I currently attend Durham College for paralegal studies and plan to get my bachelor's in legal studies. I'm not fully aware of what God's calling me to do right now, but I'm definitely going to meditate over that for the next 3.5 years. And this is how I was brought to the feet of the Lord. So, because I grew up in Newcastle, which is a super small town, it's really easy to hear the word of God, and the Christians are definitely prevalent in this town for the most part. But because I grew up in an atheist/agnostic household, it's also really easy to ignore the word of God and throw it off as rubbish and fictional. In my time growing up, I had definitely become an enemy of God and hated the idea of Christianity and everything to do with religion. Thought it was ridiculous, which was a natural ignorance and fear of death, I guess. As I grew older, I became less and less against it, and even ended up like really good friends with a lot of Christians in high school. I think it was through the two families of my friends, and my friends, of course, that probably was God doing the most work in my life. And both families were incredibly welcoming and very godly, and I started to see that Christians were typically very generous and open and welcoming people in general. Both of these friends explained a logical creation of the universe about how God had to exist, and how like the universe couldn't have just started, how there had to be a creation of time and space. And that really spoke to me as like a logical person, so I started thinking more and more about religion in general. But at the time, I still like pushed it off and said, "No, I'm not interested. I'm better than that. I don't need it." And then one of these friends seemed very persistent on me reading the Bible, so that's a section of my life that I called the deal. And he said, "If you read the book of Matthew, then I'll read the book of Matthew." And I said, "Oh, sure." So I read the book of Matthew through and through. It was good at the time, and I finished it I think he ended up stopping and reading Mark because Matthew was too long. Though at the time, nothing really jumped out at me and spoke to me personally. I still kind of wanted to keep reading the Bible, but I chose to ignore it because I felt convicted. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this. Why would I want to feel this way? So that was the beginning. And then I stopped for like 3 months there. And I was just like, I'm not doing this. Why would I do it? Who cares? And then in September of that year, so after the summer, I just felt really called to read the Bible. So I picked it up again. And I read the first 5 books of the Old Testament. And then within a month, I stopped the Old Testament and then finished the New Testament in like a month. And at that point, halfway through, probably in like 1 Corinthians, I just felt super convicted. And that's probably when I got down and said, Christ, take me. I can't do this by myself. I need your help. So that's the day I consider myself saved. I'm not sure exactly when it was, but it was in October. A few months had passed from that, and I was really into the Bible, but I was terrified of coming to a church. It was too formal, and I would stick out, and it wasn't good. But the family of my friend who got me to read the Bible in the first place convinced me to go to church with them, telling me that I could hang out with them, it would be normal and fun. So I went with them to a service, but the church we were going to I didn't like very much. They didn't read from the Bible or anything. It just seemed very like liberal, which I wasn't looking for. And then we had come here, I think, the third week, and I pretty much decided then that I was going to keep coming to this church because Pastor Noel had spoken on Romans 2 on March 4th in 2012, and that was just really spoke to me as someone like Saul, who was an enemy of God and an unbeliever, and like how he changed Paul's life and helped him walk with the Lord, and it was really something that I wanted to do. So I came back, Pastor Jacques was preaching, and of course his passionate preaching kept me coming every week. Through that, I worked through getting sin out of my life and accepting that I needed Christ more and more every day. I decided this was the church for me because it was close by and everyone was so welcoming and you guys are great. Yeah, so on top of those reasons, like the reason I want to become a member of the church is like, you guys are very, you have a lot of ministries that I'd love to help work with, work in, lead, and maybe even start some. That'd be great. Though I haven't embraced the waters of baptism yet, I'm very eager to proclaim to the people of Christ that I am devoting the rest of my life with a holy union to Jesus Christ for now and forever. So that's all I have. So yeah, not as long as it probably should have been.
I'm Jordan McDonnell, and I had a very different testimony written to share with you tonight. God had something else planned than what I did. After this morning's message, I felt compelled to rewrite my testimony, share this one instead of the one I had prepared. This one will focus more strongly on my sin than I would desire, but is what God has placed on my heart. I grew up in the church. I have always attended church. I came to know the saving grace of Christ when I was just 4 years old. I was at a Billy Graham crusade in Toronto in June 1995. From there, I lived a Christian life. I went to church, went to Sunday school. The next big milestone, spiritual milestone in my life would be my baptism in the spring of 2004 when I was 13. At this time, I renewed my commitment to Christ and publicly confessed his lordship over my life. And I wish I could say that I continued to live a God-focused life thereafter, but that is not the case. As an aside, this is not something I have ever publicly shared, only a select few know this in part, but I feel that it's important to be transparent and confess this before the body of Christ. For shortly after my baptism, around the time I started high school, I fell into the sin of lust and found myself regularly sinning in this manner. By the end of high school, I had fallen further still and was involved in sexual sin with my girlfriend at the time, who was also a Christian. It was not God's plan for my life to be lived this way. And by His grace, during the summer, after I finished high school, I was removed from my sexual sin in which I had been caught. And that is how I ended up here at NFBC 4 years ago. For I knew the only way to be completely free of the temptation was to remove it wholly from my life. In order to do so, I left lifelong friends in the church I had grown up in. However, even after this transition in my life, I was still trapped by the lustful sin of my eyes. And it was there that I was stuck for a long time as I refused to humble myself, and I continually attempted to resist my sin solely by my own efforts. It wasn't until recently that I actively sought out help from other Christians and gave over not just my eyes, but restructured my entire priority system for the Lord. In the light of this, young people, I urge you to set boundaries in your relationships, set boundaries with yourself, and do not waver from these. Before you ever come into a situation I did, for if you are not prepared, and you are not wholly given to the Lord, you will fall. Parents and friends, I beg of you, when you see someone in a compromising situation, do not sit idly by, but warn them and intervene. For the number of people who told me after the fact that they were happy to see me return to my former self broke my heart, for I knew they saw the change, saw the fall that I was living, but did nothing to save me from the path that I was heading on. Much as we must intervene in the life of the sinner, leading them towards God and away from hell, I am happy to be able to say now that I am free of those sins and it is solely by God's grace. As stated in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Although these sins are still a daily struggle in my life, I am not ruled by them, and I must trust in God's strength and not my own. Moving forward to talk about my joining of the NFBC body and membership, I desire this mainly for two reasons. First, so that I may serve God more effectively, and second, to have a body of believers by which I may be held accountable. As I mentioned earlier, God has given me new insight into how to conduct myself and by the priorities by which I live. As Luke 6:45 says, the good man brings good The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And I desire that my heart overflows with the things of God, not of this world. I feel that God must be the primary priority of both my money and my time. As part of the membership interview, we discussed tithing, and we discussed the 10% tithe. I was told it is important to give to God, but to not get caught up in the ideal of giving 10%, as there may be times in life by which it is not possible to do so. With this, I agree. However, if that is the case, every other expense that I have better be necessary. For first, my money is God's and not my own. And I do not believe that is the case when many of us give. Furthermore, this principle must extend both ways. When God blesses us with money, beyond what is necessary, we should give it back for his use and not hoard it for our own gain. As for my time, it too must be the Lord's first and mine second. Watching movies is not bad. Playing video games or sports are not bad in themselves. But when they become a distraction to us and take the primary priority in our life, they become our gods and rule over us. We must not allow this to happen, and we must ensure that we seek first God's kingdom before the things of this world. Again, I must confess, this is a hard principle to live by, and I struggle to do it. However, there are measures I've set in my life that I've put in place so these idle tasks might not hinder my time, but that my time might be better devoted to God. In closing, I would like to use words that I feel transfer very readily to define the obligations of a Christian. I want to be clear that the following statement is in no way an oath, but rather an outline of the duties that I feel are set before me as a Christian. These words are almost wholly from the obligation of an engineer, words which I've said once already this year under a different profession and in different company. My first profession, though, is a Christian first and an engineer second. And so I feel it's appropriate that I, again, say these words as a Christian and by my Christian obligation, words by which, alongside Holy Scripture, I ask the Church to hold me accountable. I, Jordan McDonnell, in the presence of these my betters and my equals in my calling, bind myself upon my honor that to the best of my knowledge and power, I will not henceforth suffer or pass or be privy to the passing of bad workmanship or faulty material in aught that concerns my works before mankind as a Christian or in my dealings with my own soul before my Maker. My time I will not refuse. My thought, I will not grudge. My care, I will not deny towards the honor, use, stability, and perfection of any works to which I may be called to set my hand. My fair wages for that work I will openly take. My reputation and my calling I will honorably guard. But I will in no way go about to compass or wrest judgment or gratification from anyone with whom I may deal. And further, I will early and worldly strive my uttermost against professional jealousy or the belittling of my fellow Christians in any field of their labor. For my assured failures and derelictions, I ask pardon beforehand of my betters and my equals and my calling here assembled, praying that in the hour of my temptations, weakness, and weariness, the memory of this my obligation and of the company before whom it was entered into may return to aid, comfort, and restrain. Upon my honor, God helping me, by God's grace, by Holy Scripture, by these things I purpose to abide. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Melissa and Joshua and Jordan for sharing the things that they shared tonight from their hearts. And I do want to say, we praise God that we are saved by grace. It is all by grace, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But it's Jordan, I just want to say, I know it took a lot of courage for you to share as a believer what you shared, but I just want to just read something before I address both Melissa and Joshua here and the rest of the congregation in a few minutes. This is when David, a man of God, fell greatly in his own life as a believer. He committed a great sinful act. He committed an adulterous act with a woman named Bathsheba, murdered her husband, or had her husband murdered, did not confess that sin in his life as a believer for months and months and months until God dealt with him. And when God finally dealt with him and broke him down, David penned these words, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward part. You teach me wisdom in the secret place. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." That's God's grace. God's grace to forgive us from our sins and restore us. That's exactly what God has done in Jordan's life. That's what God has done in Joshua's life. That's what God has done in Melissa's life. Jordan has already been baptized by immersion. We believe that baptism by immersion is the best picture of showing men and women that we have been united with Jesus Christ already in His death, burial, and resurrection. There is no better picture than believers' baptism. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." When these two individuals walk into this baptismal tank and stand there, they are not being saved, they're already saved. They're just testifying to you that when God saved them, as they walk into that water, they're testifying, "I used to be a sinful person, but God saved me, and I want to testify that I have been buried with Christ in death. And my old life is now buried in the ground." And as they come up out of the water, they're testifying, "I've been raised by the power of God to live a new life." That's what they're saying. They're publicly identifying their union to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask Melissa first to come forward and stand with me here, and then Joshua will come too. Melissa, bring your towel with you if you don't mind. Now, it's okay for you to clap after Melissa gets baptized. It's a time of great rejoicing for us as believers. And so if you just want to express your joy in the Lord, you can do that. Melissa, I'm going. It's pretty warm. But it's not that bad. I told these people that I want to ask each of these candidates some questions, and I just want them to answer from their hearts. Melissa, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was born of the Virgin Mary, that He lived a sinless life, that He died upon the cross for our sins, that He was buried, and on the third day that He rose again from the dead? Do you believe that? Have you personally placed your trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins? Is your desire from this moment on to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ all the days of your life? That upon your profession of faith and in obedience to the commandment of Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Joshua, come forward. The early Christians were put to death for doing what these two people are doing right now. They identified themselves with Christ and they suffered greatly for what they're doing. Joshua, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was born of the Virgin Mary, that He lived a sinless life, that He died upon the cross for our sins, that He was buried, and on the third day that He rose again from the dead? Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Have you personally placed your trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins?
Yes, I have.
Is your desire to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ for the rest of your life?
Yes, it is.
Then upon your profession of faith, Joshua, and in obedience to the commandment of Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Susie. Well, praise God. I'm just going to just share just for just 2 minutes. I just wanted to say before, because these guys got to come back in here and they're going to get changed, but I just wanted to share from the Word of God just for a few minutes what salvation is. Because there may be some of you here tonight who don't know what it means to be a Christian. Maybe you don't understand what Christianity is all about. This is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with a living Savior. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, actually lived. The Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, written 700 years before Jesus came into this world, that the virgin will be with child. And she'll give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only human being that ever came into this world by virgin birth. He is the Son of God, God the Son Himself, incarnate. He became a man, and He became a man for a specific reason. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. We cannot save ourselves. Every single religion in this world teaches us that in order to be reconciled to the God who made all things, we've got to try to work our way to please Him. And so we try to go to church, we try to do good deeds, thinking that if we do enough of these good things, that somehow in the end, God is going to weigh our good deeds out with our bad deeds and accept us into His presence. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches us that God is holy, He is perfect, He is righteous, He is pure. It teaches us that He hates sin and He must judge sin. But it also teaches us that God loves us. He loves us so much that God Himself took the initiative to save us from our sins. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So Jesus came into this world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived that perfect life that you and I could never live. Never once did He sin against the Father. Never once did He have an evil thought or speak an evil word or have a bad attitude in His heart or have ungodly desires or commit any kind of sin. He was sinless. He was the sinless Son of God who lived a perfect life. And at the end of His life, Jesus Christ Himself laid down His life upon a cross. And He died for sinners like us. so that we could be reconciled. As Jordan shared tonight, it is by grace that we are saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. And that's why Jesus died. They nailed Him to that cross, but really, God the Father nailed His own Son to the cross because of His great love for us, because of His justice, His love and His mercy. And Christ took our sins upon Himself. And He was buried. And the world thought that they destroyed the Son of God. I want to tell you something, guys. The only reason that I'm in this place tonight, God saved me when I was 17 years old. I want to tell you, the only reason that I'm here tonight is because Jesus Christ is no longer in a grave. He is risen from the dead, and He is the Lord. Hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah for that. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Muhammad is dead. He's dead. Buddha is dead. He's dead. But Jesus Christ is alive. And He lives forevermore. This is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living Savior. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming again. And every eye shall see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the nations of the earth will mourn because of Him. If you're here tonight, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, you need to understand something. Either you will pay for your own sins in eternal judgment, or Christ Himself will pay for your sins. What will it be? Will you trust Christ? Will you place your faith in Jesus Christ as Jordan did, as Melissa did, as Joshua did? They placed their faith in Christ. They have the assurance that if they were to die right now, they'd go to heaven. I pray and trust that you will do that. I pray and trust that you will listen to what the Word of God says. The Word of God is true. You know, guys, I just want to say this. I know that there are religions that have their own, quote, scriptures. They are not the Word of God. And you might say, well, how arrogant you are, Pastor Jacques, to say that you have the Word of God in the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you something, guys. The Bible was not written by one man. The Bible was written by over 40 different authors in 3 different languages over a period of 1,500 years. It only has one author, though, and that author is the Holy Spirit of God Himself. From Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, the message is all this: Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. This is not a human book. Written by the pen of men, but inspired by the Spirit of God. And you just pick up that Bible like Joshua did as he was testifying tonight, as he read the Bible. What happened to him as he's reading God's Word? He became convicted of his sin. He realized that he was a sinner. He realized that he needed a Savior, and that Savior was Jesus Christ. And God Himself brought Joshua and Melissa and Jordan to the foot of the cross by the Holy Spirit, just like He's brought so many of us to the foot of the cross by the Holy Spirit, and we've trusted Christ. And with David we can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to ask Joshua and Melissa and Jordan to come and stand here in front of the church, please. If you don't mind, guys, come on up now. Stand in front of the church. At Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, we believe that you've got to be born again to become a member of the church, and we also believe that you need to be baptized by immersion. These 3 young people have already done that. They've trusted Christ by God's grace. They've been baptized by immersion. They want to join this church. They want to serve Christ through the ministry of this church. They need your support. They need your blessing. They need your prayers. I'm going to ask only those who are members of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church to stand at this time and rise with me. For those of you who are members of this church, having heard the testimony of these 3 young people, having heard the fact that they've placed their trust in Christ, that they've been baptized by immersion, that their desire is to walk with Christ and serve the Lord, will you even tonight extend the right hand of fellowship to these brothers and sisters in Christ? Would you do that? Amen. Welcome to the ministry of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. Praise God. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come forward at this time. They're going to stay here in the front. The worship team is going to lead us in our last closing hymn. I'm going to ask all of you to stand as we close our service off tonight. When the worship team finishes, I'm going to close in prayer. And then I'd like you to welcome your brothers and your sister in Christ to the ministry of Newcastle. Thank you. Christ, welcome these young people into the membership of our church. Before we pray, I just want to let you know, as I said earlier on, we've had our debt reduction Sunday today, and so far, by God's grace, we have raised $21,110. So praise God for that. If you've not yet given to the Lord and yet you still want to do that, we're still willing to receive whatever you want to give. Let's just pray. Father, how can we say thanks? How can we say thanks for what you've done for us, Lord? You've been so good and so kind and so gracious towards us in saving us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given to us, Father. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the church. Lord, thank you for these young people. Thank you for Melissa. Thank you for Joshua. Thank you for Jordan, Lord. What you've done in their lives, what you're doing in their lives, what you're going to continue to do in their lives. Father, thank you that they've been willing not only to identify themselves publicly with Christ, but also identify themselves publicly with the ministry of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. Lord, we commit them into your hands. We pray that you would continue to sanctify them by your mercy and by your grace. Make them holy, Father, from the inside out. Purify their lives. Strengthen each one of them, Lord. Give them the grace to love you more than they love themselves, more than they love their sin, more than they love this life. Lord, help them to place Christ before them at all times, every single day, to get up, deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. Use them for your glory, Father, in this church. Help us as brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside them and encourage them and keep them accountable, even as Jordan was sharing tonight. Keep them accountable in their walk with you, Lord. And I pray for all of us who are members of this church, Father, that you would give us the grace to love you and to serve you and to follow you every day of our lives. So, Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands. We leave this ministry in your hands. We pray that you continue to bless. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and the praise. And Lord, thank you so much as well for the $21,000 that was raised today to put towards our debt. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you.